that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Him, the gal, 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 yeah. In the gallery.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today our guests are from two art galleries in Chico. One of those galleries, 1078, has been a favorite of art enthusiasts for over 30 years. But it's a gallery that's been homeless for 6 months. The president of that gallery's board of directors will be telling us about 1078's temporary pop-up location, currently inside of MUNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art. And then she'll tell us about 1078's new permanent location, which it'll be moving into in April. And she'll tell us about the big party this month, which we're all invited to celebrate the move and to help raise funds to renovate the new home of 1078 Gallery. We'll also talk with the leader of a special gallery in the Regional Cancer Center of Chico's Enloe Hospital, a gallery that features artwork and spoken word presentations created by cancer patients as part of their physical and emotional healing process. We'll hear from a couple of those artists themselves. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight in Reading, beginning at 8 o'clock, the Oak Song Society presents award-winning singer-songwriter and legendary bassist Freebo, together with Alice Howe, a rising star in folk music. The two perform this evening at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2850 Foothill Boulevard. Orland Art Center features the exhibit Silk Sensations, displaying work by artist Tanya Mead Mullen. Her medium of choice is dyes on silk. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater opens its production of the classic Tennessee Williams play, Glass Menagerie. Performances are tonight and tomorrow, starting at 7:30. Each Wednesday this month, at the Naked Lounge Coffee House in downtown Chico, Uncle Dad's Art Collective is producing the series Decomposition, which features experimental visual, musical, auditory pieces. This week's guest, local Chico group Dream Show. Shows start at 7:30. Tickets available online at uncledad.co, that's C-O, or at the door. That's the calendar for this week. Today is the birthday of a major figure in American literature, Jack London. London announced, "I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy and permanent planet."
One of Chico's favorite showcases for art, 1078 Gallery, has been absent from the art scene for a few months. But now, there's great news about 1078.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with Aaron Wade, president of the board of 1078 Gallery. 1078 comes from the original address 36 years ago, when it was at 1078 Humboldt Road. It has gone through three different locations and is about to move into its fourth.
We moved out of our old space at the end of May and began looking immediately. Found that there really wasn't a lot of available space. We were hoping to stay right downtown and looked at a couple of places downtown that didn't work out. There was a space that we kind of kept thinking about. That's the one that we have ended up with finally. It's at 1710 Park Avenue, the old Sierra Market building, Park Avenue and 17th Street. We think that location has a lot of potential. It's got a parking lot and a backyard, great visibility from the road. It's a little bit smaller, but it's a big open space, so we can see a lot of potential there.
You were telling me you have a very cooperative landlord who's doing quite a bit of initial work, and then you're going to take over with a crew of 5 volunteers.
Yeah, well, right now the building is pretty much gutted. It needs a new bathroom, it needs new floor, it needed some roof work, windows. Thankfully, the landlord is taking care of a lot of that work. When we actually start moving in, we'll be constructing a couple of display walls. We're hoping to build a dedicated stage area, which is something new that hopefully will have a sliding wall so that we can have display space, but also a permanent stage area so that we don't have to move that equipment all of the time. It'll be a lot of painting and sprucing up outside. Yeah, hoping to be open in April.
1078 is a multi-purposed cultural institution. What kinds of programs have you had and will you have?
Our mission includes all art forms. So while we are primarily known for our visual art and we have exhibitions of visual art every month, we also have a really strong music program, everything from classical to heavy metal. We do performance theater events, literary events, as well as community workshops and things like that. So a really wide variety of things that go on at 1078.
In its initial birth, 1078 was very dedicated to bringing to Chico experimental art that might otherwise not be seen. Has that also been true through the years, and is it true now?
Absolutely. You know, we're one of the few places in town that you can really see contemporary experimental types of work. Maybe the University Art Gallery might be the only other place that really does that. For us, that's both local artists as well as regional and even international. We've had artists last year from Germany that came and did a very experimental installation. Our region is wide, but we definitely always focus on high-quality contemporary art.
During that 6 months where you had no permanent home, you were doing pop-ups.
We did one that was at the Butcher Shop Theater Festival over the summer, and that was all sculpture, large-scale sculpture. Then another pop-up that was the Stories 6 show, which was in a home on Salem Street in Chico, and that was really unique. And then we've got one more, which is our collaboration with the Museum of Northern California Art, and that one is called A Place to Say and is now open.
1078 is one of those wonderful cultural community contributions that has really no visible means of support. It has to be improvised how you manage to pay the rent and keep it going. So there's a fundraiser coming up.
That's right. In general, we maintain ourselves through our memberships, art sales, events, donations. For this new venture, we are expecting that it's going to cost between $25,000 and $30,000 to get ourselves established there. So we're hoping to raise at least $25,000. We're off to a great start already. We've already raised over $11,000. But we have an event coming up on January 20th, and that is a big fundraiser event at the Chico Women's Club. It's called the 1078 at 1710 Party. The Women's Club is located at 592 East 3rd Street in Chico, and that'll be from 6 p.m. to midnight. We've got 6 bands, starting off with the Alamos, Sunday Iris, and Mossy Creek, which are on the folky side. And then as the evening goes on, it'll get a little bit more rocking with Donald Beeman and his band, Severance Package, which is a punk band. The headliner for the night is XDS, and they are an experimental rock duo that are really fun to see. In addition to that, we'll have a silent auction with a lot of art, as well as donations from local businesses. They're going to be 2 food trucks there, no host bar, and we're going to come up with some art-themed games for between the music. Should be fun.
There's another event involving your pop-up at Moncha, And it's wonderful that there's the collaboration between the Museum of Northern California Art and the 1078 Gallery.
So it's actually on the 27th is the reception for that, the closing reception. It's Saturday, January 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. Yeah, we are very excited that Monca asked us to collaborate with them during this time where we didn't have our own space. And it was a chance to maybe bring something to Monca that might be a little unusual for a museum setting.
Give us some details on one of these performances.
One of them is by Dylan Latimer, who is a Chico native but currently lives in Brooklyn. His piece is going to be, as I understand it, something where audience members wear a headset and are given instructions for performance. I believe there are props and costumes, and they act out some kind of performance based on instructions that are given into their ear. So that should be interesting.
Can you give us a summary of the events that people can come to?
Coming up on January 20th, our 1078 at 1710 fundraiser, which is at the Chico Women's Club, 592 East 3rd Street in Chico. And then on January 27th is our closing reception for the exhibition A Place to Say, which is at the Museum of Northern California Art at 900 the Esplanade in Chico, and that's from 6 to 8 p.m.
All right, so two events to go to for sure, and that is the Women's Club on the 20th, which is going to be a kind of all-night dance-a-thon, and then the closing reception of the 1078 pop-up at Monca, January 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. See you there. Who's gonna be?
Chico's Enlow Hospital has a special gallery inside its regional cancer center with artwork created by cancer patients.
This is Dolores Mitchell. I'm speaking with Rebecca Chenelou, who is the Cancer Support Program Coordinator, about a very special celebration of healing arts at the Enlow Regional Cancer Center.
We have a gallery that features art done by patients and loved ones touched by cancer. This is our third annual celebration. It's right here at Enlow Cancer Center, which is at 265 Cohasset Road, across from Chico Sports Club. On January 19th, we'll be in the halls, under the skylights, in front of the Healing Art Gallery. This is a public event. Everyone is welcome. It begins at 4:30, goes until 6. That's Friday, January 19th. The beginning will be a reception where people can come and mingle with the artists, have some light refreshments, something to drink at 5 o'clock Friday, January 19th. We'll hear a few words from the artists. We're going to do a little tour of our new skylight art installations. And then from 5:30 to 6, we will have some spoken word performance from two of our Healing Art Gallery artists who also are going to share some of their written work and music by our volunteer musician, Lucy Smith. Enlow Cancer Center has won awards for our arts in healing programs. Recently, we've gotten into doing these skylight art projects. People can look up and see something beautiful while they're waiting to go in for their appointments.
I have around me three of the artists who have worked in the skylight project this year. I'll have each one introduce themselves and also say a little bit about the Row, Row, Row Your Boat project.
I'm Asia Leslie. A few months before this project, a friend of mine told me that Row, Row, Row Your Boat was the most spiritual song you ever heard. So I decided I wanted to make a boat. And when I threw the idea out there, everyone loved it. And it's become this great overarching theme that everyone's been able to interpret in their own way.
Well, physically, what did you do for this skylight?
I have quilted about 3 fish and oars. They're going to hang up in the skylight. Rebecca was scared when she first asked me to do it. She wanted to know if I knew how to do it. I'm like, well, no, because I've never done it before, but I will figure it out. There's been a lot of obstacles with fabric because of the bright light in the skylights, and they had to be treated with fire retardant.
I'm turning now to our second artist.
I'm Sten Hoyland, and I ended up with the gently down the stream section of the Row, Row, Row Your Boat project. I work in wire most of the time, and so I did some wire sculpture fish in aluminum wire. There's some trout and salmon, and they're kind of swimming around. There's some glass bubbles and then some other sort of strands of reed-like things that are made out of copper that have been oxidized green.
Did it make a difference to you that this was up in a skylight?
Well, it's kind of fun because it sort of puts you, the viewer, underwater with the fish. Ooh. In a sense. There's a sense that the level of the water is above you. But it was just a lot of fun. I had a lot of help from 2 glass artists, from Dia Kim and Misty Leopard. They're both glass masters. So they loaned me equipment and they helped do all the firing the glass to melt it down for me.
I'm turning now to our third artist, who is very much a dreamer.
This is Janice Hoffman, and I was so excited to get Life is But a Dream as the topic. This was a challenge. I've done most of my artwork in ceramics, ceramic sculpture, large format tiles. So to come up with something that was going to be appropriate for a skylight, be lightweight and fireproof and very inexpensive. We usually have 0 to small budget. I brainstormed at first. I just thought, oh, there's just too many obstacles. I don't know if I want to try to do this, but I really did want to do it. My concept was to create long strands that would hang up in the skylight, and at the bottom of each strand would be a porcelain piece that we call a bob. Each one would be sponsored by somebody who'd been touched by cancer and have a first name or initials in honor of that person. The strands have a combination of crystal beads, mirrors, copper, faceted beads. The idea is that it produces a curtain with an ethereal, dreamlike quality. I was also really excited that what I had to work from to hang the strands was a pre-made copper coil in a spiral pattern, which is my very favorite shape to work from. It was a gift doing this project, but I couldn't have done it without the volunteers that also gave their time and energy in stringing all those hundreds of strands.
Oh, my.
And Rebecca for being willing to spend 5 hours on a Saturday on top of that big ladder. I love the idea of light streaming down and refracting off of the crystal and the pieces. What I think it's going to feel like if you are waiting for treatment here to be uplifted by that experience.
Well, I have all 3 artists here. I'd like them to each say a bit about this being a collaborative project. Were you perhaps surprised by what the other 2 contributed? How do you think everything worked together?
I'm delighted with how the 3 complement each other. They're very different, but they're all very beautiful, and they have the United theme. I don't know if anyone will notice, but I put details in my fish that look like Sten's fish, because I wanted to play off of his beautiful fish in the other skylight.
Well, did you notice?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, that's kind of great. I mean, each piece is sort of its own thing in a way, but then they have this connection of the row, row, row your boat. In some ways, it was kind of nice like that. They're the 3 different things, and yet they go together. We've like had meetings together, but we're sort of doing our separate thing, but then it all kind of comes together. So I'm excited for the opening. Just to have them all up at the same time will be nice.
Janice?
I wish all collaborations went as smoothly as this one. I just felt like when the 3 of us came together, we were able to really see the vision and move forward very gracefully. I loved the experience.
I have not told the artist this, but I had an old guy sitting under the Life is But a Dream spiral the other day, and he said, "What does this make you think of?" And I said, "I don't know. What does it make you think of?" He said, "It makes me think of fishing lures." And I thought, oh my gosh, it ties in with the other 2 pieces.
I'm now talking to the 2 artists who will be part of the performance section of the evening.
Hi, my name is John Schmidt. I became an artist in response to a series of events in my life, and I initially started doing some art therapy with Cynthia Schieldhauer, a local art therapist. I was amazed at how I could put on paper what I couldn't feel, and then look back and go, oh, that's what I'm feeling. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a condition called multiple myeloma. They told me I had the smoldering form and I had a 10% chance each year of getting the active form. Well, 1 year later, I had the active form. So, and as a consequence, I found myself kind of changing everything about how I thought the future would be, how I thought my life would turn out, and found that art could express it best for me. Well, I did a series of art about an individual process that I went through, which was from a person who thought he had a solid self to a person who dissolved into an emptiness. Through the process of acceptance, I found myself reforming a new self, forcing myself to face death. With this same condition, one of my friends had died in 2 months from the treatment after he was diagnosed. So I thought I was at a very short lifespan. I was so anxious at the time that I couldn't make my connection to a spiritual self. I just couldn't. I was just, one of my paintings was fear and trembling, and that's how I felt. But my family and friends and people around me supported me, and I was finally able to gain access to that part of self. And that relationship has just flourished since then with the spiritual side of myself on a daily routine, incorporating all parts of self into a new wholeness.
And John, the readings that you're going to be doing, is that about this journey and transformation?
Yes, all the art is about this. It's how I kind of learn about myself. Once I didn't have the old self, I had to figure out who I would be in the future. And I went to nature. The forest was a very important part of my life growing up. You can go into a forest and observe 1,500-year-old trees. They figured out how to be here for a long time. The core of all of us is this life energy. And to be around something that's been here that long was very calming to me. It felt like there's a lot of wisdom here in this forest. I was able to have much more balance in my life and have things physical, emotional, spiritual, intellectual consulted on a daily basis so that I listened to my body. I was taught out of pain. I was taught out of tired. I was taught out of all that other stuff that a good person is supposed to be able to ignore, you know, or an emotional self that needed to be hit in the head with cancer to even feel sad or anxious. So this has given me a much more real human sense.
I'm turning now to our second person who will participate in the performance and who also is a great lover of nature.
Hi, I'm Jenny Marr, and I'm a retired scientist and had a long, wonderful career as a botanist. Spent a lot of time out in nature. My encounter with art and my journey into art, I think, began with some unexpected and undesirable life events. I started out carving stone, soapstone primarily, and sculpting the human body because I was struggling with ailments myself with my own body. And the stone was available to me. It allowed me to vent anger. I was very angry and afraid. And the stone was hard, like my life was. And so it became an example of how I can transform a hardness in my life into something that is more beautiful and everlasting. The second type of art that I worked with was using pine needles. I harvested them from in front of Bidwell Mansion. There's a huge yellow pine tree there. So using native materials, again, I started that during a time when I was having great physical struggles. And weaving, which I had never done before, I have no formal experience or any formal training whatsoever with art. But I have a lot of experience with nature. The basketry, which started out very slowly, became really representative of how my life and the days and the struggles would go around and around and around, and the weaving was that way also. But in the end, I ended up with something whole, a beautiful basket. Symbolically, it could hold my pain, it could hold the love, it could hold whatever feelings I had. The round basket could hold that for me, very symbolically, so it still does. Through all of that, I would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night afraid, and it would just wake me right up. But oftentimes I would wake also with a poem just pouring through my head, and I would have to turn on the light and write it down and try and catch it before it disappeared. I don't know, but I think that those poems came out of my internal angst and trying to understand what was happening to me and the issues I was faced with, and it allowed me to write down a lot of that. And so I wrote a lot of poetry over the last 10 years with physical struggles. Almost always they came at night in my subconscious. I also had a very traumatic event happen 4.5 years ago. And in that process, a friend invited me to go paint some watercolors. I was intimidated, but I said, what the heck, what have I got to lose? So I started painting without any expectation other than allowing it to have a big gap of time where something would happen, but it didn't involve my thought process. It didn't require any intellectual engagement. It was like stepping off the intellectual train and all of my training of go, 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 do, 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 allowing this other part of myself to come forward. And not having any expectations made a huge difference because I was always surprised by what would happen in that. So it was very transformative for me personally, spiritually, even surprisingly intellectually, to see the outcome when I would just let go of my intellect and my expectations of how something was supposed to go. So even painting is representative of life, and I've learned a lot from that process. It has transformed me because it has allowed me to step away from a lot of expectations about healing, about what should happen in my life, all those shoulds and such. It allowed me to step away from a lot of that, or at least question it when I start saying, well, this isn't right, that isn't right. I can step away from it and pause and allow some things to happen that before I don't think I really could. At the reception, I will be sharing a couple of the poems that I wrote, ones that came to me out of my subconscious at night. I quickly grabbed paper and wrote them down. One of them I wrote 5 years ago, and I look back on it now and I think, wow, I wrote that? And sometimes I even look at my paintings or my sculptures and I say, I did that? It is transformative and very, very healing.
Well, this is going to be a very rich evening of sharing. There's also going to be the wonderful musician and singer Lucy Smith and delicious things to eat. The Enloe Regional Cancer Center is at 265 Cohasset Road, very close to the Esplanade, and the event is Friday, January 19th, 4:30 to 6 p.m., completely free to the public. Don't miss it.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.